you know, and I'll talk with you a little bit about the backdrop here, but I want to talk with you this morning about Paul's valedictorian speech. You know, these are really probably his final words to the body of Christ. As a matter of fact, I always find it fascinating when I get into the book of Timothy because it's such a personal letter. And it's a personal letter that came to the church that is the foundation of what we use when it comes to developing leadership and setting the foundation for what a church is supposed to look like. But these are literally Paul's last words before he was killed for his faith. And he knew he was going home to be with the Lord. But, you know, he writes to Timothy, and it's strange in the sense that almost all of Paul's writings is to the body of Christ, to the Philippians, to the Galatians, to the Corinthians, to the Ephesians. And yet here, in his final moments of life, he walks away from the body, and he identifies someone who's really close to him, and he pens out a very personal letter to them. And then that letter goes to the body of Christ, and it's probably one of the most positive, blessed books that we have to fall back on. You know, and so when we look at that, and you're going there to 2 Timothy chapter 4, I would just remind you of this. You know, this whole point that Paul brings out about being faithful and running the race, it's not the first time he has spoken about it. Matter of fact, he spoke to the Corinthian church. And if you've read through 1 and 2 Corinthians, you realize that as churches go, it's probably one of the most messed up that Paul had to deal with. As a matter of fact, we'll come back and look at the latter part of 2 Corinthians here in a minute, and Paul's kind of like exhortation and warning to them. But here in 1 Corinthians 9, at verse 24, he says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." Paul's warning is there is a way to become disqualified in this race that we're in. You know, and you should take a good look at that. You know, as a matter of fact, I will tell you this, you know, when we're all said and done here today, I have to own this. You have to own it. There is a day that you're going to stand before the Lord. Everybody dies. You can be a health nut. You're going home to stand before the Lord. Whether it's eternity or hell, you know, it's your choice. But there is a day you're going to die. You know, and most of us will face a day such that, you know, there's going to be a season where things just kind of come to a close, cancer, whatever it is. There are a lot of people that just end up going through a short season of suffering. The last thing you want to be doing when you're facing those kinds of days is thinking about, you know, man, if I had to do this over again, I wish I had done this differently. You know, I want to be like John Church and just go to home to be with the Lord in my sleep. But, you know, I don't know that that's going to end up happening. When Paul writes here in 2 Timothy, he's building on 1 and 2 Timothy, you know, the earlier chapters. But this is the final part of it, and I'm going to read it, and then we're going to go back and study it out. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1, it says, "I charge you, therefore, before Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season." He's writing to Timothy, and he's very, with assurance, speaking. "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they'll turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not only to me, but not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Like Paul, like you, I want those to be my last words. I've kept the faith. But there are seasons. You know, I look at this whole last year and the season we've been in. You know, I said to Trish right on the front side when COVID hit and, you know, they were locking everything down. I'm like, I would rather be faithful in ministering to the Lord, to others during COVID, having gotten COVID and died and stand before the Lord, than to have pulled off the front lines and not been faithful. I mean, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I mean, we've done nothing but battle him the last year. You know, when I take a step back and I look at where the church is today, you know, this last year, and don't take this wrong, it's been in many ways really refreshing for me. Because the majority of you that are here have been walking us through this entire time. You know, I can walk in and it's actually joyful walking in. There's not 15 people. Hey, pastor. Hey, pastor. Hey, pastor. Hey, pastor. You know, and I understand we can all get in a ditch. But, you know, as people start coming on back, they're just going to be like sea anchors weighing them down with the things that they've gotten caught up and gotten away from over this last year. And I'm not saying it's like that for everyone that's out there. I mean, I realize that some people with health issues needed to pull back. But a lot of individuals have used excuses during the season to not be faithful. And I'm telling you this, when you stand before the Lord, you can have 1,000 excuses. Not one of them is going to be spoken to the Lord. Not one. There are no excuses when we stand before the Lord. I mean, when you look at Paul's life, that man went through beatings after beatings after beatings, shipwrecks. And through it all, he has been faithful. That was preaching. Now I'm going to teach. Verse 1. He says, I charge you. That word charge in the Greek means to testify. My words, not Paul. But basically, Paul is speaking to Timothy. He's like, as God is my witness, as God is my witness, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You can expand that just about the whole testimony. And you know, what is your testimony? What are you testifying on God's behalf? Paul's like, don't lose focus of that, Timothy. You know, Timothy is a young individual who's really, in many ways, the foundation of that large church there in Ephesus, which was just, it's not anything like this. It's just a lot of home-based churches. As God is my witness, Timothy, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. He's the Lord's coming back. You might be sitting here and you don't believe that. It doesn't change the fact that the Lord's coming back. You might be having the best season in life and not even thinking about, you know, tomorrow and just the goodness of the moment that you're in. It doesn't change the fact that the Lord's coming back. There will be people in horrible seasons. There will be people in amazing seasons and people everywhere in between. The Lord is coming back. I don't know when. You know, I've been telling you, it's not that we're living in the last days, because the last days began when Jesus went to the cross and died. We're living in the last of the last days. I mean, there are a lot of things that just don't make sense unless you look at them from a biblical standpoint. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. That word preach means to proclaim. It means to exhort. And I will remind you, with every exhortation, there comes an expectation. You can't profess Christ and live like a jerk. The two don't go hand in hand. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. And I'm not saying, you know, that everything, and in your life that has been a mess necessarily gets changed in the moment. I mean, it took me years to get a handle on anger, but all of my years of drinking, March of 1980, I haven't been drunk or used since. There are some things in the moment God just in his grace, just like boom, and it becomes a testimony. That mess becomes a message. But there are other things about, you know, learning to love your wife. It takes time. Forty years and we're still working on it. Seasons change. You know, but we when we go through different seasons, you just got to step up, not out. Preach the word. It's a word to you and I. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. You know, when we look back at James, you know, and I taught on James a bit ago, and we came out of it here in chapter 4. We were talking about Elijah, if you remember. But in that passage in James chapter 5, starting at verse 13, Paul speaking says, "Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray." You know, suffering's a season. You know, just a reminder to some of you, it's not a lifetime. You may think it is. You know, your attitude might be like, oh, woe is me. Stop that. But there is seasons where we go through suffering. Physical illness, emotional trauma, whatever it is. What are we to do? We're to pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. You know, it's amazing how many people, when they're suffering, walk through those doors and just try to get their lives right at the altar. And I get that. I understand that. I mean, Trish and I have spent 40 years in the ditches, on the front lines, helping people who are going through suffering up and out. What's frustrating is that when there's a season that comes along and they're cheerful, they just disappear. I don't need God anymore. It's all good. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. You know, and it's just life cycle, boom, year later, they're back in. Oh, woe is me. Seasons. All of us. I go through seasons. Trish and I go through seasons. Our family has gone through seasons. Our church has gone through seasons. Our state, our nation, and the world at large has gone through a really difficult season, and we're not out of it yet. You know, and when we're in these kinds of seasons, we should be on our knees praying. Absolutely. Seasons. Paul says to Timothy, no matter the season that's in our lives, be ready. As a matter of fact, in chapter 3, and we'll look at some stuff here in a second, he talks about, you know, just stuff that's out there and how God's word is there for us to use to come against that stuff. The word this morning was absolutely right. Seasons. Preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, convince. In the Greek, that word convince means to reprove. This isn't up for debate. It's that kind of attitude. You know, when you look at chapter 3, Paul is writing to Timothy about perilous times and perilous men and the difficulties that he personally went through and difficulties that the body of believers are going to go through. And we're going through seasons like that right now. But he, in verse 16, says, then this is chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I don't care what the season is. We have been equipped by God's word to weather that storm and come out on the other side. You know, and when I look at this particular scripture, you know, I don't know that we have necessarily been weathering this season well when it comes to coming up against the stuff that is coming against God's word. You and I ought to know God's word, and we ought to be able to, whether it's family or friends, neighbors, whoever, be like, wait a minute. That's not what God's word says. That's not the character of my Heavenly Father. I mean, you might think that. You might have been told that. You know, I came years ago to realize, and when people would come up against me, well, you know what the scripture says. And it's not in the scriptures to just straight up love you, appreciate you, but you know what? Where is that in the Bible? Well, you know, no, I don't. If you can show me, I'm more than happy to talk that thing through. But that's not what God's word is. You and I need to know God's word, and we'd be in a position to challenge the stuff that's out there. Preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke. Rebuke means to forbid. Don't allow this into your life. Don't let this thing into your home. Don't let this into your marriage. You know, when was the last time somebody kind of like came up to you when you were being bad and just like rebuked you? I'll throw you in jail today. And yet, Paul writing to Timothy, there are things that you and I need to rebuke. Wait a minute. No, that's not coming into the house. You know, we got into Verizon this year and Netflix came along. When is Netflix gone? June something. I told Trish, I don't want it in the house. It came with the advertising. I'm looking at what they're advertising. I'm looking at some of what they're pumping out there. I mean, almost everything is R-rated. So many of the shows that they have take God's name in vain. I'm like, this is not coming into the house. It needs to go. Get out of here. You know, when have you taken a stand in your own life to some of the stuff that you kind of struggle with? I mean, these are things that you got to own, church. In 2 Corinthians this past week, it was one of those readings, and I'm going to paraphrase this, but you know, when we were going through the Bible project this week, the author had us look at some stuff in 2 Corinthians, and so I was kind of looking at 2 Corinthians 12 and 2 Corinthians 13, and this is just me speaking how I read that passage, okay? You know, but I sat Trish down and I just laughed. I mean, I was laughing when I was reading it, and then I said, Trish, I'm like, you just got to hear this out. So Paul is writing, you know, 1 Corinthians messed up, writes to him, they kick back, and he writes 2 Corinthians. And so as he's closing up there in 2 Corinthians, in his writing, he's like, you know, there's probably going to be a time when I'm going to come back on a third occasion. And again, this is my words. This is just the way I interpret it. But he's like, you know, I'm praying that you're walking in the spirit and not in the flesh. You know, my desire is to be in weakness coming to you in a loving way, saying, I'm so grateful for all the good things that you're doing. But Paul, knowing what he's dealing with, just kind of gets in their face. But I'm telling you that if I come back and you're living in the flesh and these things I've told you to get a handle on, you've not gotten a handle on, then I am in my apostolic authority going to kick your butts. You know, we tolerate a lot of stuff. Paul would not tolerate some of that stuff. You know, we just have a tendency to become mesmerized in this stuff in a way that it no longer impacts us. You know, when we're watching a movie and they're repeatedly using God's name in vain, and we're like, you know, we'll just get past it. How do you get past that? If you had invited Jesus into your home, would he sit there and watch the stuff that you're watching? Would he listen to the things that you're listening to? What would he do, you know, in your presence in the way you're treating your spouse or your kids? Or talking about your name? I mean, there are ways that we think we're running the race, but for all practical purposes, we're no different than when we came into a relationship with Christ. And Paul's like, no, wait a minute. That stuff's got to go. Preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort. Exhort here means to be of a good comfort. You know, can you take a bad situation and make good of it? And I've kind of lived my life with, don't tell me how I can't, show me how I can. My ministry for these past 40 years has been built on a simple concept, and it's the Good Samaritan story. I mean, I come from a Catholic background, so when I started reading that, you know, and I read about the priest and the rabbi who just kind of like saw a need, but just kind of like turned away, ignored it, and just kept on going. And then there's a Good Samaritan, and if you know anything about the Samaritans, Jesus, you know, when he was talking to the woman at the well, she was a Samaritan. They knew a little bit of the truth, but they had rejected a fair amount of the teachings. And Jesus dealt with her on that. But even a Samaritan who only knew a little bit of the truth stopped and tended to this individual's needs. But he don't just deal with them there. He put him in a place to rest. And he told the innkeeper that in his business travels, he had to continue on, but that when he came back through, if there were any additional expenses, I got this covered. I look at that and I'm like, that's amazing. Because it frustrates me how much in the body of Christ today, I don't see that. No, I don't want to see that. Don't talk with me about that. That's not who we are. You know, we were cleaning last Saturday, and we got all done, and we'd cleaned everything up, and I was just kind of doing a walkthrough to make sure everything was picked up, and there was a cigarette butt right in front of that air conditioner out there. And I don't know what it is about my personality, but even when I'm walking through here, if I see something, I got to pick it up. It's the Lord's house. And I know God dwells in us, but this is where we worship him. You know, and I walked this way and I saw it, and I'm thinking, you know what? I'll catch that. I got to that corner, looked at everything, I'm coming back, got to the dumpster, picked the cigarette butt up, went to the dumpster. I have a very difficult time seeing a need and not tending to it. You know, that's a silly example. Because when you're dealing with people, there's a lot of messes that are there. You know, we need to do a better job of dealing with those kinds of messes with all long-suffering. You know, when you and I get to heaven, you're not going to have difficulty finding Paul. I mean, he has been beaten raw because of who he was in Christ. I mean, literally beaten. He will have more bruises and scars on his body than the vast majority of saints that have gone home to be with the Lord. And through it all, he stayed faithful. You know, when you look at Galatians, Paul talking to the church there says, you know, there's a difference between living in the flesh and living in the spirit. Flesh contention, strife, anger, all of that stuff that just needs to go. But we are to walk in the spirit, the fruit of which is love, patience, kindness, long-suffering. You know, I don't know how you personally walk through that, but there is a day when you stand before the Lord, he's going to look at your ability to get through stuff in a long-suffering kind of way. Trish would tell you that, you know, there has been seasons in our life, in our marriage, where she just simply went through a season of long-suffering with me. And I'm grateful for that. I mean, even when it comes to the church and the ministry for the last 40 years, I was telling her as we were kind of talking some stuff through, I have absolutely no regrets when it comes to 40 years of ministry, other than all the things I've pulled her into because of who I am and the call that's been on my life. And she would tell you that she's got no regrets, but she's gone through a lot. And she's done it with a joyful heart. All of us need to do that. And teaching. You know, there comes a point where as much as we read God's word, and you need to be in God's word. I mean, I remember when we came up here, Pastor Dwayne's like, as much as, you know, you need to be prepping for Sunday mornings and teaching, you need to be in God's word just growing personally. So you and I need to be in God's word. But don't find yourself in a position where ever learning, never teaching. You ought to be teaching God's word to your children and to your grandchildren. I mean, start in your home. But there are plenty of opportunities for you to be involved in small home-based Bible studies, Curex weekends, other ways that you can just use the things that God has brought you through to minister to others using God's word. It's refreshing. It builds the body of Christ up. We need you doing that. Don't always be in a position where you're just going to be taught. Begin looking at, you know, God, how can you use me now to teach others? And then this next section, verse 3 through 5, says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I mean, think about the days that we're living in. You know, and I'm not talking about just this last year. I mean, think about where we were at 10 years ago. Where we were at 20 years ago. And I was born in 1960, you know, estimated world population 3 billion. Today we're pushing 8. I didn't open up the door as a nation to abortion, but that door was opened up in the 1960s. When I look back at to rock and roll, the ages of the 70s, and it just seems like we've been progressively getting further and further away from the obedience of who we are in Christ. To the point where, you know, in some sense, we live in a lawless society. And what I mean by that is everybody's a law to themselves. That's not a good place for us to be. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They have their own. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. You know, I don't know when it comes to the media today, and you know, I was telling church, come June 1st, I'm just going to disconnect from it. There's nothing out there that really lifts me up in many ways. There's not a news station that we can look at that's not pushing some type of political agenda. I genuinely believe that in the silence of all of that, God desires to speak to me. And I know you're going to be like, you know, Pastor, you're wrong about this. But I look back at last year and a year of a presidential election, and there were thousands of prophets who were talking. And they almost all got it wrong. And they just tweaked their messages, and they're still out there, and people are still listening to them. You know, even in the body of Christ, there's stuff there that's going on that just, it's messed up. The United States of America is never going to put a president in office that will step up to be your salvation. Trump is not the savior of the United States of America. You know, Jesus went through political times in his day. He kept focused on the things that God called him to. Today, at a push of a button, I can be in Israel looking through all the battles that they're going through. I could be in Syria. I could be in Lebanon. I could be in Iran. Not really, but close to it. And caught up in all of that and being woes all of this and not even seeing my neighbor who's got a need. You know, in a very practical way, I can actually walk over to Linda and just say, hey, Linda, how are you doing? I'm going to catch your ditch this week when I'm cutting my lawn. But we spend so much time in Facebook and all of these things. To what end? When we could be making an impact in a very real way with somebody that's hurting. These are just things that you got to think about. You know, I was talking with Pastor John this week, and, you know, I was telling him, I don't watch sports anymore. That flipped several years ago. There's so much money in sports today, and now that they got the money, everybody's got a cause. And very few of those causes have anything to do with Christ. I'm like, I don't even want to be caught up in that stuff anymore. Because it keeps me from what God has called me to as a pastor, what God has called me to as an individual. I'm just saying. There's going to be a day that you stand before the Lord. What does that day look like? Paul goes on to verse 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. You know, that was an Old Testament word fulfilled when Jesus went to the cross. When Jesus went to the cross, his blood literally was poured out on the ground. And Paul, recognizing that he is not the Savior to the world, that he's not going to go to the cross and die for the sins of man, lives out Romans 12. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, my life has become a living sacrifice. And he is just fulfilling what God has called him to and the plans and purposes of what God had called him to. And here, realizing that, you know, there's a timetable and he's soon go home, he's like, for I am already being poured out as a drink offering. You know, I sometimes wonder when Paul come to his senses about that. You know, even the thought of a shipwreck, I'd be like, okay, I'm done. You know, even the thought of the beatings that he took, you know what? You're right. I'm wrong. I'm bad. I'm out of here. That's not faithfulness. Paul's like, wait a minute. If you're going to beat me because of who I am in Christ and the truth of the gospel that I'm proclaiming, go for it. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. That's a three-point sermon there. Pastor Sam will get to it down the road, guarantee you. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Man, when I stand before the Lord, those are the words, as I'm laying in bed dying or whatever that's going to look like Don, I can come to the conclusion, no regrets. No regrets. How cool is that? I do not want to have lived my life, any part of it, in Christ with regrets. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Trish, come on up. There is a crown that we shall receive when we stand before the Lord. Come on up. You know, in 2019, when I got sick, we took a season off, and I've been talking with Trish a lot this last year and a half about, you know, the 40 years that we have been in. And early May, I got together with Pastor Sam and shot a note to the board. Effective June 1st, I've resigned my position as a pastor here at Life Worship Center. It's been 40 years of being in the ditch, and I've appreciated Trish and all that we have been able to get through. And but there's just a season of change coming in our lives, and I don't know what that looks like. Any regrets, wife? No. She said no if you didn't hear her. So we don't know what this is going to look like come the summer. I know this. On June 1st, I'm shutting my phone off. I have a lot of contacts in there, and they're friends and they're family, and there's just a whole lot of people. And you know, we went from beepers to phones, and that's been awesome. But there's only been 1 year in my life when I worked for the Salvation Army, Northern Indiana, Western Michigan Division, where I wasn't on call 24/7. And, you know, and that was a good year. But I am going to shut my phone off. You know, I've said to some of the friends that I've talked with privately and church family, you know, you got a church problem, call Pastor Sam. I don't know how they and the board work through all the details, all this, but they will. You know, I said to Pastor Sam when I met with him, it's never easy making these decisions. Matter of fact, I woke up this morning just kind of trembling. But it's necessary. When I look at where we're at as Life Worship Center, you know, and the 100 or so folks that we have plugged in, and you guys are amazing. As a matter of fact, I have to be honest with you, there was a season when I was just kind of praying through some stuff where part of me just wanted to jump up to the payroll because we finally got to the point where, you know, the church is paying us a decent salary. And, you know, and I've got 10 years before retirement, and part of me is like, you know what, just ride the wave. Just ease into it, back off, ride the wave. And yet, when I look at that, I cannot honestly stand before the Lord at 70, having looked back at the last 10 years and just been like that. I can't show up, take a paycheck, and not put my part in. Like Trish said, you know, we look to the fall, she's like, I don't want you getting a full-time job, because when you get a full-time job, you work 80 hours. So I get a part-time job and only work 40. I don't know what that looks like. I told her I don't even want to begin looking at that. We've put a little bit of money aside the last 2 years, and we're just going to coast on that for the summer and then come fall. You're our church family. We love you guys. We love it up here in Northern Michigan as much as I love my kids. And if you're looking, I do love you. I'm just not ready to live with you. You know, so we're not going to California. We're not going to a Bend. And, you know, we're not heading to Grand Rapids. You know, but I don't know what this looks like. I know personally I just need a break. And physically just need a rest. As a matter of fact, I was doing the ditches on Friday, and it was 80 degrees. And Michael was on the tractor. And Michael, I really appreciate it. I mean, we do the lawn here on a regular basis. And when they redid the road, you know, I used to be able to get on that lawnmower and just kind of like lean into the bank. Well, now it's like this and you really can't. So I'm pushing the ditches, and when I got about halfway done, I sat down and was drinking some cold water thinking, I'm not as young as I used to be, you know. There was a day where I just blew right through those and just kept right on and going. And but that season has come to a close, and so we don't know what it looks like. But Sam, Rebecca, come on up. We want to pray over you guys and the church, and it's all good. As a matter of fact, I told Pastor Sam, I do not want the accolades of having come up here and, oh, you know, like when we do the old pastor blessing, that really makes me uncomfortable in the fall. And I told him, I said, my heart would be for us to get kind of like a day in July together where I can invite the Nazarene Church and River of Life. They're my friends. I preach there on a regular basis. And let's just go to City Beach, do a luncheon down there and baptize people down there and just enjoy the day. That's more me than this kind of stuff. But we do appreciate you guys, and we absolutely love you, and I don't know how things look. It'll all work out, all right? Let's pray. Father, we come before you, Lord. I'm thankful for Sam. I'm thankful for Rebecca. And, Lord, the mantle's getting shifted here, and I don't know what this looks like, but I know this. When it comes to Sam and Rebecca, they have everything that's necessary to take the church to where it needs to be. We have an amazing board here, Father, and I just pray for wisdom and understanding over our board. Favor to find the right individuals to fill in the gaps and to fulfill the work of the ministry that is over here in Sheboygan Life Worship Center. And Father, we're praying that you, who guides a man to repentance, would be opening up the doors of a person's heart to help them get set free, to live their lives blessed to be a blessing. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Love you guys.